I just want to do two parts of review. We're not going to review the whole week, but remember, what is this? Ay, 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 ay. Okay. What is this a representation of? Treasure. That's right. And where is the treasure? Earthen vessels. Okay, good. When you are in a trial, where is God? Okay, think of the three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were in trial yesterday. When you are in trial, where is God? He's with you. And I think that's important for us to remember. I don't have a name for her. And I forgot to ask her name when I picked her up. Yes? You would like to name the baby? Please do. Make it easy for me, okay? Clarissa. Here's Clarissa. Isn't she cute? Okay. Before we get started with our message tonight, Clarissa, does someone want to hold her just a little bit? It'd calm her down a little bit, okay? She's not doing too well. Could you? Oh, I see. Please don't fight over the baby. Somehow you two figure it out, okay? I'll need Clarissa back shortly, but before we do, if you would, when we start a message, I like to always ask Jesus to be with me. So if you could just bow your heads with me. Father in heaven, we're thankful that we can be here. We've just enjoyed our campfire so far, and we're asking now that you would speak to our hearts. Forgive us. Draw close to us. We pray in your name, amen. In August of 1950, John Napoli was coming back from a fishing trip outside of the harbor there in San Francisco. And as he was coming back, it was really cloudy. It was one of those foggy days, which is very common in San Francisco. If you've ever been to San Francisco, sometimes you just hear these fog horns just blaring out because you can't see. And as he was coming back on the trip, he noticed something bobbing in the water, and he wasn't sure what it was. And then he realized it was a human being. And then there was another one and another one. What he did not realize that in August of 1950, at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, a U.S. Navy hospital ship had collided with a Navy merchant ship. The hospital ship went down in 15 minutes. There were over 500 people on board. Now they're all in the water. And John Napoli realized, I need to start helping. And so he pulled out one person and two people and three people and four people. And there were other rescue ships out there, but he was out there doing the very best he could. And soon he realized, all this nice catch of fish that I have that's worth thousands of dollars, I've got to choose. It's the fish or the people. So what would you do? People, that's right. And that was a good choice. That's what John did. And John started throwing over. Let me get rid of this fish. And then he got some more. Let me get rid of this fish. Some people say that he had 54 people on his boat, and he was pulling and towing another 16. 70 people were saved because of John Napoli. He hurt himself so badly that he couldn't go back to work. His boat was out of commission. But was it worth it? His trial brought life. And that's what we're going to rethink about tonight. Our trials bring life. You know, there's a verse that I like. It's found in the book of 2 Corinthians. And it's found in chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Have any of you been there recently? You have, right? I hope so. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And it starts out like this. For we which live are always delivered unto death. For whom? For who? For Jesus' sake. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. A few questions. We like to do this every night. Thanks for helping me out. Just a few questions. What happens to those of us who are alive in verse 11? Verse 11, 2 Corinthians 4. What happens to those of us who are alive? We are what? We are delivered So those that are alive are delivered. Those that are alive are delivered unto death. Okay, great. For whose sake are we delivered unto death? For Jesus' sake. So what happens in those people who are delivered unto death? This is confusing. It's a hard question. What happens to those who are delivered unto death for Jesus' sake? Who is seen in them? What is seen in them? What is seen in them? The life of Jesus. That's right. How can that be that life of Jesus is seen in someone who's delivered unto death? That seems like an oxymoron to me. How can someone who is dying show life? That's what Paul says, what you and I can do when we're in a trial. So I want you to think of a story found in Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas were in the city of Philippi. And as they were in the city of Philippi, as they're walking down the street, they hear a person behind them, a lady, saying, "These are people of the Most High God." But she was demon-possessed. And what she was doing was actually drawing attention in the wrong way. So Paul turned around and said, "Come out of her." And instantly, the spirit came out. Now she's no longer demon-possessed, but there were people who used to own her. And they used her to make money for themselves. And so when that happened, they saw all their money going away. So they got mad and they took Paul and Silas. They bound them up and took them into the center of the marketplace and say, "These Jews are coming to corrupt our city and make everything messed up." Then they were taken, beaten, cast into the innermost prison. So I'd like to sing a song with you. I want you to imagine Paul and Silas singing this song. You ready? The owners are angry. They're mad at them. It seems like the whole city is against them. "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed." That's the first verse. And then all of a sudden, they're thinking, "God, why? We're doing this great work for you here in Philippi. Why?" You ready? "We are perplexed, but not in despair." Okay. So now they're there, and as the top of their robes are rent off, and someone takes a rod and starts beating them, and the blood starts flowing from the back. "Persecuted, but not forsaken." Would you sing that? I don't think I would. But that's what they're singing. "You may persecute me, but I'm not forsaken." Why? If you're not forsaken, what does it mean? Somebody's with you. Does it make sense? If you're not forsaken, that means someone's with you. Have you ever been in a situation where you're being beat up? Oh, maybe not physically, but maybe emotionally. Maybe you're being mistreated by your friends or somebody else. You feel persecuted. Most of the times when you and I feel persecuted, you know what we feel? Forsaken. Isn't that right? We feel like no one cares and no one thinks about us. But we are told that when you and I are persecuted, we're not what? We're not forsaken. And then they're taken down the steps, maybe into a cave. I don't know what it was like. I have a friend of mine actually saw the Philippian jail, which is really cool, but I didn't see it. And taken down into this dark place. "Cast down, but not destroyed." Can you imagine? Ready? "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." This is the experience that Paul had in the Philippian jail. I don't know if that's why he wrote it, but he knew what he was talking about when he wrote to the Corinthians in
2 Corinthians. Our trials can bring life. Clarissa, come here. Come here. Oh. She weighs a whole lot less than my little one at home, so I'm kind of, she's light. I can, woo. Yeah, so she's so happy. So if I take little Clarissa, what? No. Shh. I'm not going to. Just telling you ahead of time not to get your hopes up. And I held her over the fire. Is she scared? No. She's not. If I did this, say, you know what, Clarissa? Oh, it used to be real close here, but I took her and I dropped her in the water. Would she be scared? Or held her over the water? No. What if I went like this and pretended I was going to throw her? Would she be scared? No, she wouldn't be. You say, well, she's a doll. And that's why. You know what? Sometimes you and I need to have the faith of a doll. Let me rephrase that, the trust. Absolute trust. If I had my son here, I can do this to him. And that's what my wife does. And you know what he does? Ah. Because he trusts me. I could hold him out over the edge of a cliff like this. Would never do that. But I could. And guess what? He would go. Why? Because he what? You and I must reach a point where we trust God so that when we're in the Philippian jail, we can sing the song. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. But the problem is, this little one, if it was real, she was real, she can see me. Sometimes you and I can't see God. Have you noticed that? Sometimes it makes it harder because we can't see. I'd like to share a story with you this evening. It's one you probably know quite well, but it's a very good one for us to look at tonight as we close. In the book of 2 Kings, chapter 6, there's a story about a man of God whose name was Elisha. And Elisha was in a city called Dothan. And I don't know if the walls were kind of like this. I wish you could stand here. Please don't. But I wish you could. And look out over here. Maybe Dothan was a little bit like this, looking down. And as Elisha is there in Dothan, he's wakes up one morning, and his servant comes running to him. Elisha! Yes? We're in trouble! Why? Don't you see? And then outside the walls of Dothan, as far as you could see, almost, it felt like, in every direction, was the armies of the country of Syria. Everywhere. And Elisha looked, and I can imagine him saying, we are troubled on every side, and not distressed. We won't sing the whole thing, but you understand, right? So he's looking out, he sees all this, and Elisha's got this peaceful look on his face, and Eliezer is like, what is wrong? He didn't say that, I guess, but he's wondering. And then Elisha looks at him, and he says, you know what? There are more with us than are with them. And Eliezer's like, The Bible doesn't say how he responded, but it does say this. It says, Elisha prayed and said, Lord, what were those next three words? Open his eyes. Lord, open his eyes.
Lord, open his eyes. Hold on to that thought. The Philippian jailer listened to the singing of Paul and Silas in the inner part of the prison. And as he's listening to it, in his heart, he's realizing, I have this desire for something deeper than what I've had. And these two men have what I want. And soon as everything falls apart in the Philippian jail, he goes up to them and says, please, what must I do to be saved? You see, through the trial of Paul and Silas, the jailer had life. Through the trial of Paul and Silas, the jailer had life. Open our eyes that we may see. So here they are. They are surrounded, and Elisha says, open his eyes, and soon Gehazi? And I said, Eliezer? Oh, man, terrible. Have mercy on me. Sorry about that. So Gehazi looks out, and he sees that there's these fiery chariots all around about them, protecting them. There are more on their side than are with the Syrians. What does Elisha do? He uses it as an opportunity to reach out and witness to the Syrian army. Our trials can bring life to other people. You know, sometimes you have the Elijah with a fiery chariot that takes you out of trouble. Sometimes you have the Elisha experience where the fiery chariots are around you while you're in trouble. But in both cases, God is with us. We need to pray, God, open our eyes that we can see. Would you like to pray that prayer tonight? God, open my eyes. I want to see, because the reality is there may be things I face in my life and it doesn't make sense. I'm perplexed. Open my eyes that I can see. Maybe I'm surrounded by trouble on all sides. Open my eyes that I can see. Maybe I'm feeling like I'm persecuted. Open my eyes so that I can see. I want open eyes tonight. I know you do too. Can we pray for that together? Would you stand with me as far as possible? Father in heaven, we are praying for open eyes. Because quite frankly, we're perplexed at times why things happen the way they do. Sometimes we are scared because of the trouble, and we're hurt because of the persecution. Open our eyes. And help us, Father, to live our lives in such a way that life can come to others because of our trials. We ask for that. I pray you'll be with each camper here tonight, each staff member here tonight. We need you, and we're so thankful for your love for us. Help us to trust in it. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.